In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We have gotten to chapter 15 in our Bible study on every first and third Thursdays. And our Bible study is the Gospel of John. And I think everyone included in it, me as well, are amazed at how rich and profound the theology is, the writing, the understanding of the human condition. And so how strange then that John's first recorded miracle of Jesus, which is also today's assigned reading, so strange that his first miracle, he turns water into wine at a wedding party. We might expect him healing a sick person, which he does, forgiving sins, which he does, exorcising demons, which he does, raising the dead, which he does. Instead, Jesus makes about 150 gallons of wine so that the party can go on. Is this not kind of below the pay grade of the Messiah of the world, and even perhaps inappropriate? So neither Jesus thought so, and neither did John. Jesus was apparently okay with parties. As you know from your Gospels, his detractors called him a glutton and a drunkard. And he often got in trouble for sharing table fellowship with the wrong kind of people. And John, who chooses his gospel words very carefully, he has no problem calling this Jesus' first sign, which is a huge word in the gospel. It's the same word he uses for healing a paralyzed man and raising Lazarus from the dead, nishan, sign. So how is it then that making the booze last longer at a country wedding is on the same level as healing the lame and raising the dead? Well, let's think. We called them all signs. And the first key to understanding a sign is that however important they are in themselves, they point to something greater. That's what signs do. They point to something even greater. And so this sign of turning water into wine at a wedding points to the heart of God and the heart of life on this earth for disciples then and now, you and I today. Because yes, on the face of things, it appears that the point of Jesus' first miracle was just eat, drink, and be merry. But if you can read signs, this miracle points to the past and the future with God, and says so much more. It points to the past and reminds us that if it were not for God, there would be nothing to eat and no one to make merry with. Thank you, Father, who created everything, who married the light and the dark, who married the waters and the earth, who married body and soul, who marries couples, and from that brings new life. That's the sign of God's past blessing. But the sign also points to our future blessing with God. Thank you, Father, for your promise that the bittersweet wine of this world will pale in comparison to the joy at the great heavenly banquet, where we will be united with God and each other in joyful intimacy without sin and without separation. So when Jesus makes gallons and gallons of wine at a wedding reception, it's a sign, pointing backwards and pointing forwards to God's purpose for making life and its best end. That which I always quote, St. Augustine said so well, God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Humanity has a past and a future love letter from God, and Jesus is arranging that marriage in the present. Where else would he do this but at a wedding reception? And all the rest of his signs follow from this. This great sign of God's love. The hungry are being fed. The blind begin to see. Captives of death will be freed in God's abiding love. A new age has dawned with Jesus. That's why we just celebrated the new year. What year is it? 2025. Why is it 2025? Have you ever thought of that? Why not? Good answer. We got a philosopher here. Why the number 2025? When did we start counting? When did we start counting? We started recounting at Christ's birth, because it's a new age, and it's a new way of looking things. It's a new dawn. With the coming Jesus and his first signs, the frost is melting. A new day is dawning in God's heavenly kingdom, even here and even now. And yes, perfection is not present. Perfect wholeness is ahead still. But trust Jesus, the best wine is yet to come, and God keeps his promises. And so how do we participate in this new life, this God's perfect, joy-filled future, which is starting to be available now? Well, Mary, at this wedding, gives a simple and profound answer. She turns to everyone, and what does she say? Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. This could be the only piece of advice you need from the Gospels or you need from this church. Do whatever Jesus tells you. Seek to know what Jesus Christ asks of you. Seek it at its source. Seek life at its source. Seek joy at its source. This is the essence of discipleship. This is the purpose of this church and any church. Do whatever he tells you. And that's why we learn service in this church, right? And that's why it's only the servants at this wedding. Isn't that interesting? It's the servants who actually see and become participants in Jesus' first miracle. Why? Because servants are used to doing what they're told. And they do. And Jesus tells them, fill the jars with water. And they're not my kids. They don't say, we don't need wine, we need water. They just do it. And then he says, now draw some out. And they do it. They don't complain about what's that going to achieve. They follow every simple step of what he says, and they're blessed with a miracle. And we're supposed to do the same. And we can. I've seen it. If you're looking for the miraculous, start with the mundane, and the water will become wine. Jesus tells us some very simple, straightforward things to do in the gospel. All we have to do is do what he tells us. For example, love one another as I have loved you. The greatest among you will be your servant, he says. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Do whatever he tells you. Because regular water plus Jesus makes extraordinary wine. Regular flawed people plus Jesus makes extraordinary people who haven't lost their flavor like the rest of the world, but who have the spice of life, who have abundant life. And so then let us listen for what Jesus tells us to do, and let's do it. Because when we participate in God's past, an ongoing miracle of life, this marriage between heaven and earth, God and man, we will even catch glimpses of God's perfect future, this heavenly banquet in which sorrow will be turned to joy, and all that has lost will be found, and all that is hidden shall be revealed, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.